Welcome to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast where we discuss tips, tricks, and current topics related to all things in the blind and partially sighted community. Now, it is my pleasure to introduce the founder of Blind Beginnings and your host, Sean Marcellet, and whatever co-host is on this week. Now, here's your host, Sean.
Welcome back to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. I'm your host, Sean Marcellet, and with me today, I have two co-hosts, John and Nika. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
So today we have a really special guest. We are talking to an elite athlete, motivational speaker, personal trainer, who happens to also be visually impaired. And he is in the process of creating something pretty amazing, but I don't want to give all the goods away. but before I introduce him, I just wanted to kind of talk a little bit about why I think it's important to have people who are visually impaired be physically active. And for me, growing up with a visual impairment, I hated PE in high school and elementary school. Basketball, volleyball, badminton were not really sports that I could play. Really didn't think I was athletic until I was 18 when I started training at a competitive level, which is pretty late to start competing. And then I realized that I actually did have some athletic ability and went on to compete at the Paralympics. So I just wonder, like, I could have been, you know, on the podium a lot if I had started as a kid. but what about you guys? Nika, why do you think this is important?
So I kind of have the same experience in especially elementary school PE. I remember when we did sports, I would have to kind of work on drills with my EA outside of the gym. And it was kind of a bad experience because she didn't really understand my ability level. So when I would serve a volleyball, for example, I couldn't serve it straight and she would get mad at me about that. And I remember this one moment where I got so angry at her for kind of judging me that I served the volleyball so hard and I broke a light.
So I'm
kind of a, you know, danger to the school building. And then in high school, I wasn't even allowed to partake in PE, so I would have to supplement it through playing goalball and filling out DPA forms, and that was kind of a way that I was separated and kind of felt different from everyone else.
Totally. How about you, John?
Yeah, so since I grew up not understanding my visual impairment till high school, I pretty much played around a lot in elementary school. Like, I did as many sports as I could. Again, volleyball and badminton were not my friends. Basketball was okay. So we had a really active class in elementary school. Like, almost everyone in our 30 kids were, like, always playing sports or something. And we invented our own versions of tag and stuff, and we had a really nice playground. So we made some really crazy version of tag where you're climbing all over the place and running after each other and trying out some things that seemed a little risky, like jumping off one thing to get to the other thing. And I could do some of those things, which I surprise myself now when I look back at it, when I go look at the playground, I'm like, I really did that? Huh. In high school, I also actually didn't get into PE for 3 of the 5 years because I did a special ed class with some other kids with different disabilities, but then they all aged out, so they didn't have to do it. But by the time I got to grade 12, they let me back in because I'd been doing wrestling at the school and played other sports outside of school. And I really think physical fitness is important, just not just for visually impaired, but for all kids, because it's just good for health, and you can learn a lot of stuff, life lessons from being in sports or being with groups of people.
Absolutely. All right. On that note, I'm so excited to introduce our guest, Tyler Marin. Welcome, Tyler.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Great. So tell our listeners a little bit about you.
Yeah, so my name's Tyler. I live currently in Indiana, grew up in Michigan, spent some time in Florida, so traveled around a little bit, but grew up in Southwest Michigan, grew up on a farm, and I guess a lot like John. I had a visual impairment that I didn't really understand until it got closer to high school years, so we knew, my family and I knew for a long time that, you know, my vision wasn't that great. You know, we would go outside and try to play baseball with the neighborhood kids, and I couldn't hang with them. So, you know, eventually they were like, all right, here's the big Nerf bat and you can hit a beach ball. Like, yeah. You know, they would make those adaptations for me. It's all my, you know, cousins and neighbors and stuff. So they were all good with it. But, you know, I had some challenges in school. I grew up in a family of athletes. So I was always interested in athletics. My dad played football and baseball. He's a, you know, golfer to this day. My sister played all seasons of sports, volleyball, basketball. And I enjoyed being athletic. I was always outside. I was always climbing trees. I was always getting scraped up. And, you know, I had enough vision that I could just be really active and not be overly concerned about. My parents weren't crazy concerned. I rode dirt bikes. And, you know, as I got older, that love for being active and for sports never really waned, despite the challenges that I ran into when I was in school. I really enjoyed playing basketball. I was, you know, put in regular PE class, which I struggled with. You know, I was always missing passes and kids would be like, what's the matter with you? You know, why can't you catch a ball? And, you know, like middle school kids are just can be torturous. Right. So,
yes,
it just never seemed to tarnish my love for being active. And so as I got a little bit older and we really started to realize how bad my vision was. I went somewhere around the age of 14 or 15. I think it was 14. I went and got officially diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa, was given the status of legally blind and started getting those services, right? Like learning how to use a cane, learning how to read Braille. And that's when I was introduced to adaptive sports. So there's a sports education camp that's held every year at Western Michigan University. So I was super lucky. I grew up about 45 minutes away from Kalamazoo in that little farm town in Southwest Michigan where this annual camp was happening. And the first year I went was in 1999. And this, I mean, the camp had been going on for 20 years by this point. It was started by Dr. Paul Poncilla, who was a professor at Western Michigan University, who himself was legally blind, was an athlete, had lost all of his vision in a hunting accident. And that's where they taught me, like, hey, just because you're visually impaired doesn't mean you can't be competitive. They taught track and field and wrestling, gymnastics, judo, and goalball was one of the sports. I can remember the first time stepping onto the court, like I said, it was May of 1999. I played my first game. They just kind of, hey, here's some knee pads. Go ahead and put these on. I was like, okay. Here's some elbow pads. Here's some hip pads. I was like, okay, what do I do? And they said, here, you take this spot, and when the ball's thrown at you, you lay on your side like this and block it. And then once you block it, you get up and you throw it back at the other team like a bowling ball. I mean, that was the extent of the instructions I got. Like, so I was like, okay, I got set up, and I throw it at me, and I block it. I get up and throw it back, and I was like, this is kind of fun, and I got done with the game, and the coach comes over to me and he goes, have you ever played this before? I was like, no, this is the first time. It's kind of fun though. Well, we have a team that goes to Florida for the junior nationals. I want you to play on our team. And I was like, you guys go all the way to Florida to play this? Like, I hadn't left Michigan by that point. So I was like, that's outrageous. Like, that's a long way to go. So, you know, just from there, I started playing for the junior you know, the youth team in Michigan. I got picked up by an adult team. My very first competition, I say it was my first competition, but I didn't really play that much. I went out to our national championships with the Michigan Wrecking Crew. So my very first tournament was a big national adult tournament. And I played a solid 5 minutes, maybe, you know, so 2 years after I got started, so May of 1999, just 2 years later, May of 2001, I made the USA team and competed in my first tournament, the Pan American Games. And since then, I've competed in 3 Paralympic Games, Athens, Beijing, and Rio. I have competed in 4 World Championships. Last I checked, I've competed in about 104 or 105 tournaments, something like that. And I've brought home about 68, 69 medals for all the national and international competitions that I've been in. So wow. I've been around. I've done a couple things with it.
That's awesome.
Had a wonderful time doing it.
Are you still competing?
Yeah. So after the Rio Games in 2016, I actually went into retirement for a little while. I thought, you know, I've been doing this for 15 years. We finished pretty well. We finished silver in Rio. And I just said, you know, I think the team's in a really good place. I stepped away for a little while and then realized I don't want to quit yet. So came back 2 years later and started competing again and currently training for hopefully the Tokyo 2020 games.
Whenever those happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Hopefully they won't get canceled or anything like that. But yeah, I'm training for those games. Just thought like, yeah, I thought I wanted to be done. And then I realized I still got a little bit left in the tank.
So it sounds like you had a similar high school sport, not exactly fun, but yet you hung in there. You made the best of it.
I did. And that, you know, the middle school experience was probably the most challenging. By the time I was a freshman in high school, that's when I kind of got that diagnosis of legally blind. And I still can't decide if I'm proud of this or not, or if it was kind of a Weasley thing to do. But I went to my athletic director at the school and said, first year freshmen, they always take PE1. After that, you can take another PE class. You can do weight training. And I went to my athletic director and I said, you know what? Listen, PE1's not going to do me any good. I'm visually impaired. Volleyball, basketball, this kind of stuff doesn't sit well with me. I know I'm just a freshman, but can I take weight training instead? And they were like, yeah, go ahead. And so I took weight training my first year, which was great. Like I'm, you know, trying to compete in goalball. Like I want to get stronger. So I took weight training. Then the next year comes around and says, you know, I know I took weight training already, but, you know, most people take it their second year. I'm allowed to take two PE courses. Cause I just take weight training again. They're like, yeah, go ahead. You can go ahead and do that again. Well, I ended up taking weight training all 4 years of high school. So I went, I just kind of leveraged my blindness, I guess. And it's like, when I was a freshman, I went in, I was about 5'10" and I think I weighed somewhere around 140 pounds. I graduated at about 6 feet tall, but closer to 185. So throughout my high school career, I put on about 40 plus pounds of weight, muscle mostly. And, that definitely helped a lot. So I kind of leveraged my blindness a little bit in that, in that situation.
That's what we call self-advocacy.
That's just really smart use of your time there. I wish I thought of that.
I like to think so. Like every once in a while, I think, yeah, it was kind of a Weasley thing to do, but I don't regret it.
Okay, so tell us about this. I don't know which direction to go because I feel like with all of your experience, all your years of playing goalball with other people who are blind or partially sighted, obviously, I'm guessing there was some motivation or some, you know, things that you noticed along the way of people who were visually impaired and maybe their gaps in physical activity or understanding of how to work out.
Yeah, no, there was definitely some of that. You know, as I graduated from high school, you know, again, I could just continue to love the idea of being a better athlete, bigger, faster, stronger. It's fascinating to me what the human body is capable of. And so as I got into school, it took me a minute to settle on this, but I eventually said, you know what, I want to study the human body. I went to Western Michigan University. I got my bachelor's degree in exercise science and really just enjoyed how to improve athletic performance. Through my experiences with the Paralympics, through my experiences with the same sports education camp, you know, I went back and volunteered there a lot and, you know, it's pretty easy to spot the difference, right? Like in general, I think kids are a bit too sedentary these mm-hmm. days, but visually impaired kids especially have a big challenge with this. And, you know, but the thing that really tipped the scales in a lot of ways. So here's kind of how this whole project came about that I'm working on. I graduated from Western Michigan University, got my bachelor's degree in exercise science and got into the personal training field. And that's what brought me to Florida. Personal training is pretty popular in places where the sun's always out and it's always warm. So ended up in the Sunshine State. My wife and I wanted to get out of the cold. We took the kids down to South Florida. We were near Fort Lauderdale. And I worked for 24-Hour Fitness as one of their personal trainers for about 5 years. 6 years. And it was a great experience. 99% of my clientele was totally sighted. I had a few people randomly here and there who were visually impaired. It was just kind of interesting, how crossed paths with them. But my wife, who is also blind, she is very, very social. She's on a lot of different Facebook groups. She runs her own business. And she would tell me, I'd come home from work and she's like, oh, it's, so-and-so on this group was asking about fitness. They were asking like, hey, are there any good resources out there? Is there any good YouTube channels? Does anybody know of any good apps? And she's like, you got to get on here and tell these people how to do this stuff. You know how to do all this. You got to let these guys know. And I'm like, I just worked a 12-hour day. Like, I'm not interested in getting on there and telling people how to do fitness right now. And so, I knew that there was that need there, right? There's a gap. And one of the things that really sealed the deal for me, I was working one day, this is pretty far into my career as a personal trainer. There was a couple people who came to the gym who were visually impaired. One of them in particular, this woman who had a couple kids. She was a very nice lady. She would come like 3 days a week, 4 days a week and walk on the treadmill. And I would talk to her every once in a while. And at first she was like super stoked about it. She'd come in and she's like, yeah, I've lost some weight. I'm feeling really good. And after a while the tone started to change a little bit. I said, hey, just checking up on you. Make sure, how's everything going? You're coming in pretty regularly. She's like, yeah, it's okay. But I'm not losing any weight anymore. And I said, okay, well, what are you doing? And she said, well, I'm walking on the treadmill a lot. And I said, okay, that's great. Walking is really, really good for you. Are you doing anything else? And she said, well, no, not really. I don't know how to use any of the other equipment. People get tours when they come in, but other than that, you hire a trainer to learn how to do everything. And she said, I know how to do the treadmill and that's it. And I said, okay, well, if you add in some strength training, working on some of the machines, maybe a little bit of balance and flexibility work, I think you'll start to see the needle move again. And she said, okay, great. Can you show me how to do that? Well, I can. I said that, gym policy, I could get fired for training people who didn't pay for training. So, let's go ahead and talk about the rates that the gym sets. And, again, all of that was out of my hands. But I talked to her about it. And unfortunately, she could not afford the training. Right. And that happened a lot. Like, mm-hmm. not trying to pat myself on the back or brag or anything, but I'm pretty, it was pretty expensive. I'm pretty highly qualified. Right. So the problem was all the other people that I had worked with, hundreds of them that said, I would love to do the training, I just can't afford it. They could walk away. They could go upstairs into the gym. They could look around and say, okay, that person's doing that machine that way. Yes. Cool. I'm going to try that when they're done. They could sit down on the machine and look at the picture and yes. figure out how it works. They could go on YouTube and look up a workout video. They could figure it out. They could join a class and not feel crazy awkward. They could stand in the back at least and follow. This lady couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. She couldn't do that. And it really, really bothered me. The fact that she walked away and there was nothing I could do. I couldn't change the rates. I couldn't change the rules. That was the gym policy. But it just didn't sit well with me. This is a problem. This is a real problem. And it just needed to change. So, I started doing some research on it and there were a few resources out there. There's a couple of things here and there, some folks who had put together some programs to kind of teach people who are visually impaired, but it just wasn't enough. I'm looking at it going, okay, I'm an elite athlete. I'm also a personal trainer, right? So I've worked with the gambit. I've worked with people who are in very good shape, who are very, elite and want to push themselves. I've also worked with very, very beginners, people who are just scared to even walk in the front door, right? You got to hold their hand through the whole process. I know the full spectrum and these programs just, they just didn't cover all of that. And there are people who are visually impaired who are all over the spectrum.
Yes. I feel like any programs that are sort of designed for people who are visually impaired tend to focus more on the chair yoga or the, like, let's keep it really safe. Let's keep it really slow. Yep. Yep. And for me, exactly. as a retired elite athlete, I want a real workout, right? I want the real deal. I don't want some like lesser version of working out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the deal. Like chair yoga and I just fell asleep during it.
But here's the deal. It needs both, right?
Yeah.
Like it needs both because there are very much people in that position where the chair yoga is absolutely perfect for them. But to your point, like how do you do a power clean when you're visually impaired? I can guarantee you right now, you're not going to find any resources, any YouTube videos that are descriptive enough to teach somebody who's totally visually impaired how to do a power clean.
Yeah, right? Without hurting yourself.
Yeah, because it's a very complicated maneuver. So I had an opportunity that was put upon me, you know, and I'm a man of faith and I really, you know, I believe that my life is guided in that sense. So well into my career, the fitness center I've been working at for a number of years, 12-minute walk down the street, super convenient for us. We got the news that they were closing their doors and moving across town. So, you know, to somebody who has a car, not a big deal. To me, it turned in from a 12-hour walk to a 2.5-hour bus ride. Mm. And I said, man, I cannot do that. I was already working a lot of hours. I was like, I cannot add that onto my day. I hardly see my kids as is. And so I took that opportunity and said, okay, I'm going to pivot here. I opened up my own business. I started Revision Training LLC, did some personal training on the side with a lot of my clientele who were, you know, happy to continue training with me. And then started the launch of the Revision Fitness program, started the construct of that and working on building out this idea of there can be a resource out there to teach people who are visually impaired how to exercise, whether you're, you know, at the very beginner stages or whether you're a retired Paralympic athlete and you're looking for something a little better. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the origin of the story. And from there, the project is growing and I can give you updates on that too.
So how long ago did you start working on this?
If you're talking from idea, like the idea popped in my head and I was like, wow.
Yes.
I think that could work. About a year and a half.
Oh, that's actually really good. You've made some pretty amazing progress. Is this just like so you didn't have any funding, you're just kind of doing this as a side hustle, passion project?
Yeah. Yep. No funding, no. And it was again, it was like, I know this can be done. I mean, ultimately, like what I was trying to do is like, how do I take my experience and put it down in a teachable program, you know, and clearly I recognize I don't have all of the knowledge, right? I have a ton of experience and I can share that, but I thought, okay, maybe if I can take what I know and I can put it down in this teachable program and then get people to kind of, you know, sign on to that and maybe it can start making a little money, then I can take that money and go to somebody who knows more about Pilates and then I can build Pilates in and then we can, you know, it can just kind of grow itself in a sense. You know, that was how it all started. It's, you know, spend $50 on a microphone, download a free recording program with Audacity and start working on my laptop, you know, start looking around like, does anybody know of a really cheap way to get a logo? Does anybody, you know, like I need to start designing a website. Does anybody know of a very, 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 very inexpensive way to develop a website, you know? And so I just started this whole process and just the hours are countless. They really are. The hours are countless as to, and you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm scripting up these ideas and okay, so you know what I should do? I should divide it this way. Okay. That, I think that'll work. Okay. So now if I'm writing up this script, I'm going to record this too, but I should have the script in there. How should I divide up this script? Should it be, you know, here's all the different sections. And it's just evolved over and over and again. And several times I'd have to go back and you know what, I think this is a better way to do it. So I'd scrap what I did already. And I went back through and redid the whole thing. You know, it was just growing and growing and growing. So lots and lots of time that's been put into this thing.
I totally understand. I started Blind Beginnings 12 years ago and it's you know, the creativity and the passion and the cause and like, that's what motivates you. But then you have to learn how to do all these technical things that, you know, like fundraising or getting people on board to help or figuring out what kind of microphone you're going to use or which, whatever. Right. So, yeah, I totally
seems
understand.
Like simple stuff. Right. Seems yeah. like simple stuff. But, you know, you think like the year and a half since I've had that idea pop into my head, the first iteration, the first launch of the program has about 100 described exercises and positions and about 12 plus workouts. Each workout is divided into a beginner and an advanced level. So I guess if you double that, it'd be about 24 workouts. And you think like, wow, it took a year and a half to get all of that, which it's like, yeah, it did, because it took me so long to figure out how I wanted to structure the whole thing and how, you know,
it's a lot, though.
It is a lot. But you know what? But I'm okay with that. It's just really exciting. I'm really excited to see how this thing goes.
Let's talk about a little bit about I don't know, when you were talking about the limitations of being visually impaired and working out, I'm thinking of like, I know how to use all the equipment in the gym, but just getting around the gym is a little bit scary and dangerous with like machines poking out everywhere and people not putting things back in the same spot. You don't always have somebody to go with you to guide you through the gym, even if you do know what you're doing. And then paying for personal training just to have somebody guide you around the machines doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah.
And it's really expensive. But I'm just curious, Nika, what has your experience been with like accessing physical activity now that you're out of school?
So I was a lot more active kind of when I was in high school, just because a lot of the programs I was in, I stopped because of university and I was really busy. But I remember like when I went to the gym, I had a personal trainer for a couple months. I stopped because it was really expensive, but I wasn't really concerned about getting hurt more if like bumping into anything by accidentally. I was more kind of concerned that I couldn't change the settings on any of the machines independently to set kind of my levels, for example, like with the treadmill or the stationary bike or any of the like body weight machines. I couldn't set the resistance to what was kind of more relevant to my needs.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sometimes figuring out how to adjust the weight on the machines too. And like, I'm just guessing this feels about right, about maybe what I did last time, but not sure if it is. So Tyler, how did COVID affect your progress?
It's interesting because, you know, COVID clearly was a very, very challenging thing for a lot of people. And I think it just shuffled things around so much. Like for me, in a way, it kind of benefited what I was trying to do, because what ended up happening, of course, is that so many people were kind of forced due to the circumstances to be at home. And so they're saying like, I'm going stir crazy. I can't go to the gym. I need something to do. So I empathized, you know, for us, I say us, my team and I, you know, we're training and preparing to go to Tokyo. We get word that Tokyo has been postponed to the summer of 2021 and we can no longer go over and train at our facilities. So we started essentially a 3-month at home training program. I did so many burpees, it's ridiculous. Right. So And so, you know, I kind of paused at the moment and said like, look, if I'm struggling with this and I'm a pretty self-motivated guy, I have, you know, a decent amount of experience and knowledge with this stuff. I know others are. So I took that moment to say, look, let's gather up. I'm going to start doing these live videos. I believe I was doing 2 a week at that point, just live. Hey, and it was nothing crazy professional. I was like, here's my daughter. We're working out. Like, you know, just come into my house. We're going to do a workout. It's, you know, and it was fun. And I think that the feedback that I got overall was very positive. I think people really appreciated that. I think that people came to trust me a little bit more in what I was going to be presenting, how I was going to teach. So I think that in the end, it ended up helping me a little bit. I think it grew my reputation a little bit. And that's really like an important thing, because really, I think this program, the Revision Fitness program, is being built around my reputation for the moment. Certainly I want it to become its own thing. I want it to stand on its own. And for people to say like, hey, is there any good resource for people who are visually impaired? Yeah. You know what? There is the Revision Fitness program. You know, like I don't necessarily want it to be referred to as Tyler Marin's program, right? Like I want it to be its own thing and have its own reputation. But for now, I think it's me kind of running the engine, which is, you know, which is fine. So I think that the pandemic has helped this situation. But I would also say that I'm generally a pretty positive guy. Like I take situations as they are and I say, okay, I'm going to make this to my benefit. So that's just always how I've operated anyway.
Well, it's helped Blind Beginnings to make forcing us to have more online programming. So I kind of understand where you're coming from there, but that's how I found you, because I was looking for some way I couldn't go do my yoga class. I couldn't run with my friend that I run with because she wasn't in my bubble. I couldn't do the things that I normally do. And I was looking for like, how am I going to work out? I'm stuck at home. And yeah, I have a treadmill, but that gets old.
Yeah.
And I think John was the one that introduced me to you and the Facebook group. And it was awesome. I was super impressed. And yeah, the first one I listened to, your daughter was in the workout, giving you some feedback on the comments people were giving. And it was like super easy to follow. It was great.
That's awesome.
I actually went in a little bit like with low expectations, I guess, you know, because I feel like I've tried other online things and they were not descriptive enough. And like, I love yoga because generally yoga instructors are really good at describing, but any other fitness professional, like what if I don't know what a mountain climber is? What if, you know, once I learn what that is, you can just call it a mountain climber and I'll know it every time. But you know, what if I've never done a burpee before? So it was, I remember actually the first thing was, it was a very long dynamic warm up. And I was kind of like, okay, let's get to the, you know, but that's just an impatience that I have. That's nothing against you.
I tend
you.
To be a little long-winded too, right?
No, I'm just like, I'm warm now. The warm up was pretty hard. And I was kind of like, this isn't even the workout yet. Okay, what are we in for? Yeah.
So funny.
But no, overall, like, I think it's excellent. And I'm so excited to have that as a resource now. Like, it's really good. But I'm curious, John, you're like elite athlete too. Like, what's your impression?
Well, when we started, I was like, oh, good, someone else who can start telling me what to do, because I'm running out of ideas myself here too. I'm like you, like yoga is also, they're really good, and I haven't tried too many other online things because at the start I was just making up my own stuff. Like I took the time to start working on the blind hockey skills because I am not very good at shooting, passing, or doing stuff. So I would be in the carport for hours doing something that Canadian kids would be doing when they were five that have been completely missed out on. And I was just doing my other stuff, and the description is all really good. I thought it was pretty good to follow, and there were a couple of new things, and I thought it was pretty fine. And
what about you, Nika? Cool. Did you try any of them?
Yeah, so I actually, something I found really, really cool was that usually, you know, I do a lot of workout videos on YouTube and there's so many, but the problem is I can't actually do a continuous workout with them because for one, there's always ads, but then also I have to keep pausing the video to either kind of look at the video and see what position they're doing or zoom in or go look up on the internet how to do it. Whereas with your workouts, I can just kind of get in the zone and do my workout and I don't have to look anything up. I feel a lot more confident in my abilities.
And I didn't even know you were a personal trainer when I started this. And, you know, you just think, oh, some guy who is an athlete who knows how to work out, like, that's cool. That'll be good, because it did sort of seem just like this random guy on Facebook. Right. And now realizing and doing more research about you and discovering that, like, you actually know what you're talking about scientifically, biologically, all of those things. So I think that's
absolutely
really amazing that we can follow along and know that we're not going to hurt ourselves as well. Did you worry about that at all?
I don't want to say no, because certainly, like, more than anything, as a personal trainer, like, anytime I worked with somebody, it was like, you know what? Step number one is let's stay safe. Like, your goal is to get stronger, healthier, fitter, faster, you know, and if you get hurt, you're clearly not getting that, right? You're setting yourself back. So a lot of, you know, when I thought about these workouts, when I put together some of these routines, my thought was, okay, you know, make sure you well describe this, make sure they understand this. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it was a concern, but it was definitely a factor as I'm putting these together. And again, that kind of led into a lot of the build that I have for the Revision Fitness program now. So, a quick kind of sneak peek into, you know, what you will see there. There's kind of three main divides. One of them is still being built out, the fitness plans, but the other two are live and active, the classroom and the fitness studio. So the classroom is where you would go to say, like, okay, how do I do a push-up? How do I do a squat? How do I do a sit-up? How do I do any, you know, there's 100 of them in there right now. So pick, you know, pick your body weight exercise, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the sections that I include in all of these lessons, it's common mistakes with this exercise, right? So how do people do it wrong? I've been a trainer for a long time. I know a lot of these things, right? I know that if I have somebody in, you know, this lesson isn't in the program yet, I haven't gotten to the machines and free weights yet, but I know if I have somebody doing a seated row, like on a machine, right? So you're seated with your legs straight out in front of you, kind of braced against a platform. You're sitting up super straight. You've got your arms straight out in front of you and you pull your elbows in by your rib. You're kind of pulling the weight towards you. I know that if I let somebody do that long enough, eventually they're going to start to drop their chin down towards their chest as they get more and more fatigued. They're shifting the stress of that exercise into different muscle groups. So in all of my lessons, I have this common mistakes with these exercises. You know, one common mistake with this exercise is people drop their hips down too much. Fight to squeeze your belly and keep your hips up. So yeah, all of that kind of comes into play. You know, when I put these lessons together, it's not like, hey, a squat is put your hips back and sit down real low. Right. Next, you know, it's the squat is like, I have like a page and a half of text describing the ins and outs of a squat. How do you do it? Which way do you face? What should your chest do? What should your shoulders do? You know, because yeah. I want people to stay safe and I want people to really understand what they're doing, you know, when they're visually impaired and just can't see a video of somebody doing it.
Did you have people who are visually impaired sort of test out the studio classes?
Yeah. Yeah. I went through kind of a beta test group. I had about 12 people, some of them visually impaired, half of them sighted, who went through these exercises, some of these routines, the classroom settings. For example, one of the things I got feedback wise was, hey, when you start a workout, when you start, the timer goes off, you know, you should really set the pace, right? Remember that nobody can see you. So you should, you know, all right, we're going to do push-ups. Ready, begin. And it's down, up, down, right, up. Yes. Here's my pace. You know, so I do that a lot in the workouts. I actually got some more feedback and I might be adding a feature pretty soon that's like a pace track for some of these exercises. But anyway, so, that was something that I got feedback on. And a lot of people just seem to like it. And you know what's interesting is, even the folks who were sighted really enjoyed this concept, right? Of not having to pause and look at the screen, right? Like you said, like just listening and getting that feedback. One of the persons that was a beta test person for me, she is a volleyball coach, you know, pretty athletic, has been doing workouts her whole life. And the lesson that I did on push-ups and, what I use a lot of time is clock face directions. And so, you know, the way I described a push-up, like, so imagine yourself on the, face down on this big clock face on the floor. Your chest is right over the center of the clock. Your feet are on the number six, your head is toward the number 12 and your hands are, you know, just on the outside of your chest. Make sure they're not up by your face. You want them by your chest level. But what I talked about is as you come down into the push-up, your elbows should not point out to 9 and 3 o'clock. That's going to put too much strain on the ligaments in your shoulder. You want your elbows to come back just slightly. So your left elbow points towards 8 o'clock, your right elbow towards 4. And this lady who is fully sighted has been doing pushups her whole life. She's like, just when you described it like that, it just clicked. She's like, it just helped so much. I totally got it. And it was really cool. Like it was kind of a boost for me as like this person who's been doing pushups their whole life. Like the way I described it really, really helped her. So yeah, a lot of really good feedback from the people that I've worked with on these workouts.
You said you have like 1,800 followers on your Revision Fitness Facebook group now. That's impressive.
It's very cool. It's very cool. It's a great group too. A lot of people ask really good questions. It's very, very exciting.
A quick comment on description and stuff like that. Like you said, sighted people will just look at someone and try and copy it. And I've seen that in the gym happen right beside me. People are talking about, oh, this is how we're supposed to do a clean. And that makes my ears peak. And I look at them and I watch them and I'm like, yeah, guys, you're not doing it right. And I describe it to them in a really detailed way. And they're like, oh, maybe we shouldn't be doing this right now. So it's not just the blind people. So yeah, like it works great for the sighted people.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. A little bit of false sense of security, right? Like, oh, I looked it up on a YouTube video. I was like, why?
Yeah, like, I don't want to be standing there hearing someone screaming because they pulled something really bad because they did something wrong. Yeah. And I could have done something about it. I was just like, you're trying to do that for the first, no, don't do this. I'm scared.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So right now, you have a website where some of this is people can check it out, but the goal is that this is going to be an app. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep, okay. Absolutely. So it's kind of multi-layered. And again, the whole idea behind this is universal design, right? So it's very much put together with the visually impaired population in mind, but I also really tried to make it so that people, for example, who are deafblind can have decent access to it. Even those who, just regular sighted folks who want to get on, like this should be a very appealing thing for them as well. But it's going to be in three layers. It's going to be an app for Apple and Android, and it's going to be web-based. And again, I kind of, like I originally started the idea, I was like, I just want an app, right? I just want an app because most blind people are on apps and that's all we really need. Well, then, you know, as I'm working with my group and getting feedback, there are people who just like to use their laptop. And I said, you know, we really got to make sure that everybody can get to this. Let's make it a website as well. So that was the easiest part to do, is make it a website first. So you can actually go on the web. You can actually sign up for the platform. Little caveat just to throw in there. My guys are still cleaning it up. So all of the content is there. You might find some spelling errors. There might be some things that are a little quirky with it still, but we are really, really working hard to make it fully, fully accessible, to make it fully clean, professional. You guys deserve that. The blind population deserves something very professional, and we're working towards that. But you can go to it's revisionfitnessapp.com, and it is a very, very it's accessible. All of the classrooms, all of the workout studios are up there. Fitness plans are not up yet. There's a few things that we're still kind of building out.
What is that? You're exciting me with this whole fitness plans. Like, what is that going to look like?
So this is, again, some feedback that I got. So interestingly enough, and this is totally coincidental, the company that I hired to help me build this whole thing out, I saw an advertisement for this person on a Facebook group, and it was a company that was kind of like all in-house. Hey, we'll do logos. We'll do, website design, all this stuff. I was like, well, I need all that. So I talked to this guy and I was like, here's my idea. This is what I want to do. I'll build this platform to teach people who are visually impaired. Turns out he's actually blind himself. He was a track athlete who's visually impaired, who started this company. So it was kind of a cool, coincidental type thing. And so we're building this program, and I'm putting together all these workouts and these classrooms, and it's like, so you go to the workout, and here's the list of the exercises, so you can go back to the classroom, you learn these movements, and then when you jump into the actual workout, we can just go boom boom boom. I don't have to take up 10 minutes at the beginning of every workout explaining each exercise. That's what the classroom section's for. And he's like, oh, this is great. He's really enjoying it. He's like, I've been doing these workouts, these are fun. And he's talking to me one day, and he goes, there's something missing from this whole thing. I can't put my finger on it. Like, we're missing something with this. And it just kind of like, it hit me right away. I said, you know, what's missing is it's really random. Like, you're just going on and selecting workouts, right? You just, which ones do you do which days? He goes, that's it. That's it. I've not, like, these workouts are great. I love doing them, but I don't know when to do which ones. And I said, okay, yes. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to build a fitness plan section. So here's what it's going to generally look like. Like, we're still kind of building it out. I have plans written up for all these, but you go to the fitness plan section and there's a list there. It's the, I want to lose weight fitness plan, or the, I want to tone this. Up fitness plan.
Yeah. I'm going to use the losing weight one for sure.
There you go. Or just even, I want to run a 5K. I want to, yeah, you know, I want to learn the ropes. You know, I'm a beginner. What do I do? And so these will literally be step-by-step, like, okay, here's, you know, week by week, things that you can do. Here's a schedule to follow. Here's some suggested workout patterns. You know, Monday you can do dynamic warm-up plus, you know, tone up AMRAP. Tuesday, dynamic warm-up and core stabilizer workout. And it runs you through these whole processes. And along with that, again, here's where kind of my experience as a trainer comes in. I'm putting together a whole bunch of task lists, you know, and before you're like, oh man, homework, like they're pretty simple and straightforward, but in there, you know, task group one is like, let's really set your goals. You know, what I learned as a trainer is that if you go into the gym, you're like, yeah, I just want to lose 20 pounds. Like, that's not a bad thing per se, but let's dig in a little bit. I give you some resources to say, what is your real goal? Why do you want to lose that 20 pounds? What's the real X factor here? Is it, you know, you got a pair of jeans that you haven't been able to fit into in a few months? You got some COVID pounds on? So let's really hash it out and, like, okay, let's take that pair of jeans. Let's hang it up on the wall right behind your bedroom door so you see it every day that you walk out of your room and remind yourself of why you're doing this, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a lot of that kind of stuff, a lot of guide as to what to do to kind of work towards these goals.
That's so cool. So
yeah, I'm so excited.
I am too. I'm very excited about putting it out there. And again, just getting some feedback, right? Like, that was part of the reason that, again, like, I hesitated to do this kind of launch and release of the program, because it's still kind of being built. But I was like, man, I've just been working so hard on this. I really want people to see it and start working with it. So I'm really excited about it too.
I think that missing link is going to be big, because I know already I've just keep avoiding the core ones, and I'm doing the ones that, you know, full body, perfect. I'm just gonna, so I kind of am picking the same things that I know I like. Ooh, sure. Fast paced. Yeah, I want fast paced. Yeah, tone. I think I want a tone. Right. I sprained my ankle recently. I can't really do cardio. I'll skip those for now, but you can be lazy, or you can, you know, just sort of let yourself off the hook. And I need more accountability. So,
yeah, and that's what it's designed to be.
Will your app include like a notification type thing?
Ooh, you haven't moved in a while. We haven't seen you on the app. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Right? It'd be like, that's what I need. I need like very firm, like I need someone to be like mean to me and make me do it.
I need to put on my angry trainer look, right?
Like, yes.
The answer is yes and no. No and yes. I think the first iteration that we're rolling out is going to be fun. It's going to have a lot of, and Sean, you're signed up for it already. So you see, like, there's some really cool stuff on there already. Right. But
yeah,
it's just taking time to build, because it's just me, right? Like, I'm putting this stuff together. Like, I'm not writing the code. I've got a team working on that, but all of that to say, yeah, that is something that I want built in as we go down the road. It's just that might not be in the first rollout. That might be a few months down the road when I can get some analytic plugins and get it to recognize, hey, you haven't done this workout in a while. You haven't been on the platform in a while. And I start sending you push notifications and things like that. All of that planned. I'm not planning on letting any get off the hook that easily.
That's awesome. When do you think the app will be an app?
So finalizing the contract with the development company, and we're hoping our plans are before the year is out, you'll be able to download the app.
Ooh, so excited.
That's so soon.
Awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty excited about it. And a lot of it has, because we started with a web-based system, a lot of the and I'm not a developer, so you know, this is just the dumbed down version of it, but according to them, a lot of the the structure is built out already and it just kind of needs to be reiterated as an app. So apparently they think they can do it before the year's out, and I'm gonna see if we can get that done.
And will there be a cost?
Yes. So that's, I'm glad that you brought that up. So again, from day one, the idea has been accessibility, right? I want people to get their hands on this, and you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, right? Like it's can be difficult for people who are visually impaired to have enough financial resources to get these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. I think all too often that there are things that like, man, that would be so cool. That piece of technology would totally change my life, but it's like a $4,000 piece of equipment. Can't afford it. Right. Like it's unfortunate. It's rough. It's like, I understand the economy, the economics of it, but I put this idea together saying like, I need something that's totally reasonable for people, but I still have to be able to support the project. I gotta keep food on the table and be able to put, you know, resources into it. So yes, there is a subscription. It's very, very inexpensive. For a single person monthly, it's $5.99. Full access to everything. There's no like premium subscription or anything like that. It's just $5.99 a month. Or if you want to pay for the annual subscription, it's $60. So you save a few bucks. And just to kind of put that in perspective, $60 for 12 months, full access to everything that we have on this platform. As a personal trainer, if you wanted to do one-hour session with me at the gym, it was $60 or more.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's that's very, very cost-effective when you consider the big picture of it. So
very reasonable. The only reason I went for the $5.99 option is just the cynicism that I have in life of, is this really going to be accessible? Am I really going to be able to do this?
Totally right.
And now I'm
totally,
like, oh yeah,
totally still, get it.
When it's an app, that would be the same cost structure.
Yes. Okay. Yep. No, that won't change. We're actually working on also rolling out a group subscription option. That I think, I mean, like technically like a family could sign up, but it's kind of geared more towards, you know, schools for the blind, blindness organizations, lighthouses, things like that, that might have a body of employees who are visually impaired and can sign up their employees for cheaper group rates and things like that as well.
Cool. Okay. Blind Beginnings might have to look into that. That's exciting. I was thinking about even just accountability. I wasn't sure what the group thing was. Was it like, we're all going to do this workout on this day and then we're going to talk about it? Or I wasn't sure.
That's
what
a
that
great,
was.
Yeah. Potential function to add in for the moment. It's just like, hey, I'm such and such an organization and I want all my members to have access to this platform. But again, as the platform grows, we are looking at building in analytics and things like that where, you know, we can form groups. The idea is to build a community as well. There's going to be a message board on the platform that they're building out. So, you know, there can be communications and people kind of partnering up and holding each other accountable. And so, yeah, we're looking at building in some of that functionality as well.
So if people want to sign up or find you, how do they do that?
So I'm not too difficult to find. I'm out there in a lot of places, but just to put it out here, the website again for the platform is revisionfitnessapp.com. And just for a quick clarification, I've got my good developers working on this, but Google Chrome, if you're a Google Chrome user, for some reason you have to type the full address to get it to pull up. So the https://www.revisionfitnessapp.com. If you're on your mobile, if you're on Safari, if you're on Firefox, anything else, pulls it up, no problem. revisionfitnessapp.com. So you can go on there, you can sign up. It's very, very simple process, very secure, very easy to follow. If you are interested in joining the Facebook group, Revision Training with Tyler Marin, Fitness VIP. So Revision Training is the name of my company. My YouTube channel is Revision Training LLC, where there's just a ton of videos on there. If you want to get a feel for the way I teach or how I do things, there are more live videos in the actual group than on my YouTube channel, but on my YouTube channel, there's two or three dozen audio accessible workouts on there and instructional videos. And then from there, if you want to email me, it's just my name, TylerMarin@gmail.com. Go ahead and send me an email, ask me some questions, all easy ways to get a hold of me.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Tyler. I'm super excited for this app. The website's good, but I'm not one of those people that wants to bring my laptop to the basement to do my workout. Absolutely. I'm really excited for the app, and I will definitely be a forever supporter. So thank you.
Seriously, I appreciate it. I appreciate the support. I'm so glad that you're doing the workouts. I hope you're really enjoying them. Looking forward to your feedback on them, and anybody else who joins, that's really the crux of it. This is not for me, right? I'm enjoying it. I love building these sorts of things. But this is for you guys. This is for the blind community. And so what I'm asking for is for people to sign on and let me know what they think. Give me some honest feedback. Let me know if you find little errors. If you can think of better ways to describe things, I'm all ears. I want to know so that we can build this thing so that in the future, people who are blind or visually impaired can get on there and know how to do these exercises. They don't have to hunt and search for good resources. They don't have to wonder, you know, can I do these exercises? They can know, and they're just one stop shop for all the things that they need.
Well, thanks, Tyler, for joining us. Really appreciate it. It was so nice to get to know you.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Yeah. And thanks to my co-host, John Nika.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. I'm your host, Sean Marcellet, and please join us next time.
For more information on Blind Beginnings and its mission to inspire and support children and youth who are blind or partially sighted and their families, visit www.blindbeginnings.ca.